The title for this conference is Stages of Growth. Every person's journey of faith toward wholeness and holiness will be unique to some extent. However, there are certain tasks that everyone must accomplish in order to become a whole, mature person. This results in certain common characteristics that we may observe in each person's life. A knowledge of these characteristics will be helpful in making a judgment as to whether we are on schedule in accomplishing our God-given destiny of wholeness and maturity. We may call these common characteristics the stages of growth. If we are to develop our unconscious potential for love to the highest possible maturity, new capabilities for love will be actualized at different periods of our lives. The more knowledge we have of these different stages of growth, which are normally experienced, the more clear picture we will have of the particular tasks that challenge us at different periods of life. Physiologists maintain that every cell of our physical body undergoes a complete change approximately once every 7 years. Many people who have studied psychological growth maintain that there is also some kind of psychological or spiritual change in one's personality approximately every 7 years. The existence of a crisis of growth each 7 years is true of so many different people from such diverse backgrounds that it will be worth one's time and effort to check back over one's own past life to see whether or not the same has been true in your life. The change from one stage of growth to another does not necessarily fall on the exact year that is a multiple of 7. But if you give yourself a leeway of a year or two on either side, you may find it fascinating to check your own life the following years, the age of 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, 42, 49, 56, 63, 70, 77. One should test these suggestions with one's own life experience to see how far they conform to one's own stages of growth. There is bound to be much variation from the schema proposed. There are so many elements of the unexpected in each human life. Every human being contains an unlimited potential for love and goodness, which frequently emerges in unexpected directions. God also is an incomprehensible mystery who takes delight in unexpected interventions of love in each of our lives. Because of the variety of life's experiences, the older we get, the less exact will be the suggested times for progress from one stage of growth to another. Another way of looking at these stages of growth is to think of them as the stepping stones on the course of our life, the turning points in our progress toward holiness and wholeness. Ira Prokof, in his intensive journal workshop, has one section that he speaks of the roads taken and those not taken. And this would be to look at our life at those points of decision, those crises of growth, to determine the options that were present to us at certain moments in our life, where we could have gone in a different direction from the one that was taken. Every decision we make is important and affects our future growth in love and wholeness. But there are certain times and particular decisions of life that are especially critical in the effect they will have on our whole future. These decisions and these times in our life we might call crises of growth. If we know ahead of time that these forks in the road of life are to be expected, we will be better able to cope with the choice and to make the right decision when that crisis arrives. The more we know about these points of decision that are common in every human being's life, the more we can learn from the experience of others who have gone through similar crises of growth on the road to wholeness and maturity, then the better equipped we will be to handle these choices when they occur in our life. To continue undisturbed in the same direction which one has been following in the past is no longer possible when a crisis of growth arrives. Usually there are four options. We try first to escape from the crisis by regressing to an earlier and more infantile way of life. Or secondly, we try to become a fence-sitter and remain on dead center without making a choice one way or another. Thirdly, we can make the wrong choice. And finally, make the right choice of action that will enable us to progress from a less mature level of personality to a new and higher stage of maturity and wholeness. Every stage of growth is important and necessary. The tasks that are given can be accomplished at an earlier or a later stage than the one that I will suggest in this conference. However, there is a definite order to the steps by which we progress from imperfection to wholeness. If we attempt to impose too early a task that is for some later time in our life, the result can be disastrous because we are not as yet mature enough to handle such a task. On the other hand, if we fail to complete a task at its proper time, our obligation to accomplish it at some later date in life is not removed. Rather, we now have double or triple duty, whereby we are accountable for the task of the age that is appropriate to us, plus the neglected task of earlier life. This will explain why so many people fail to reach full maturity, and rather are overcome by the multiplicity of the tasks that they have neglected to carry out at the proper time in life. The path to wholeness and maturity is nearly always painful. Some sufferings can be avoided by proper education and good experiences of unselfish love. But even the wisest, the best prepared, and the most loved person can still expect crises in their stages of growth, times of bewilderment, of anxiety, and mistakes. Our willingness to sacrifice our selfishness is the basic price necessary for growth in wholeness. If we limit ourselves to the easy and the attainable in life, we will stop growing. The really serious problems of life are never fully solved. Therefore, growth and maturity results from working constantly upon these problems. Normally, there will be certain key moments upon which the success of our future growth depends. It is important to be ready for these moments when we find ourselves most free and the true masters of our future destiny. Very often the experience of death, either the nearness of death for ourselves or the presence of death in a loved one, presents the crisis necessary to destroy the slavish power of our egos and to awaken within us the true center of our being, the inner person, the inner self. At times of crisis, the greatest danger is discouragement, or fear concerning the future, coupled with a neurotic clinging to the past. Such fear stifles creativity and freedom, makes us overprotective of ourselves. Education, but most of all love, given by someone who really cares for us, is the best help to overcome these fears. But ultimately, growth toward wholeness will depend upon the degree of our faith and trust and love of God. It is possible to divide the normal person's life on earth into three periods. In each of these periods, we may think of them as lasting approximately 28 years. The first 28 years of life might be called the period of youth. The second 28 years, from the age of 28 to 56, we will call the period of adulthood. And the third period of life, from 56 until death, would be called the period of mature adulthood, or if you wish, the period of maturity. We can also divide each of these three periods of 28 years each into four stages of 7 years. And these four stages would mark those points of crisis, those points of decision that come in the life of each one of us. Let us now look at that period of life from birth until the age of 28, the period of youth. In general, this period should be spent in the education of one's conscious faculties, one's senses, intellect, will, imagination, memory, and feelings. Beginning with the knowledge of oneself as independent of others, which usually occurs around the age of 2. The education and the training of our conscious life continues until a person is ready and willing to make a complete commitment of one's conscious faculties to some cause or to some person or persons. And this commitment usually occurs somewhere between the ages of 21 and 28. To succeed in doing this, one must develop a high degree of self-control and self-discipline. This is the number one task of the period of youth. One's facility for getting along with others also needs to be developed during our youth. Other tasks are learning responsibility, learning how to use our freedom, developing our abilities to think and reflect and make good value judgments. One must also learn how to handle feelings and emotions in a balanced way, especially sexuality. Those young people who find it necessary to struggle hard to make ends meet materially and physically are usually spared the deeper inner problems, or are able to accomplish them more quickly and more successfully, while those who have an easy life and have to make few sacrifices
and practice little self-discipline. They usually find it extremely difficult to assume the responsibilities of adulthood and to make the necessary commitments in order to pass out of the period of youth into that of adulthood. Instead, they often remain in a state of permanent childishness and mediocrity throughout most or all of their adult years. The first 6 or 7 years of youth covers that period from birth till a child enters school. Even though a baby is helpless to do anything but accept whatever comes, it is important for parents to realize the tremendous shock that must be endured by a newborn child at birth. If there is great love and acceptance by the mother and by all of those who handle the infant in the first hours, the first days, the first weeks and months, then this first crisis of life will be successfully resolved without future damage. If, on the other hand, love is lacking in these first years of life, usually the child is damaged for life. Self-consciousness gradually awakens during the first 6 or 7 years, as well as knowledge and responsibility and freedom. If the child has numerous experiences of unselfish love from parents and all others who come in contact with the child, then a great sense of security and well-being is able to give that child the necessary inner defenses that will protect them in the years to come. Other areas that can be developed during the first 6 or 7 years are reverence and respect for the person of God, for God's laws, and the things that belong to God. A child can also be taught to respect and love oneself as well as others. Personal responsibility can be developed by teaching the child to care for and keep in order the property entrusted to that child. A child is given that the self-confidence to believe that through efforts of self-discipline, one can learn to control oneself and live up to the expectations that others have of them. This child must be constantly taught that self-confidence comes in a special way through God's love and God's loving care. A child in those first years learns more by example than by words to attain the happy balance between trust in God and trust in other people and trust in oneself. The second stage of life for youth would be from the time the child enters school, or around the age of 6, until the age of 12 or 13, the age of puberty. The child begins in this period to learn social consciousness through control of selfish desires, through a consideration of the rights and privileges and the needs of others, through the willingness to share what they have with others. A deep sense of responsibility for one's own actions and decisions can be taught through a proper use of rewards and punishments that flow naturally from their actions. The value of self-discipline and self-control is learned by means of thousands of little experiences of daily life explained by the expert guidance of loving parents and teachers. A great love and respect, both for one's own freedom and for the freedom of others, can be attained through an appreciation of the happy results that flow from the proper use of freedom. A feeling of inner security and respect for one's own worth will be directly proportioned to the number and the depth of the experiences of unselfish love that a child of grade school age receives from parents and others with whom one associates at this age. The third stage of youth is called adolescence. And this lasts from perhaps the age of 12 or 13 to the age of 18 or 19, the teenage years. Besides the obvious problems connected with puberty and adolescence, this is the first time really in life that a person is capable of making a total commitment of one's life to God or to another person or to some cause, some purpose and value. This is, in other words, the first time in life that one becomes truly free to make decisions about life in general. I would say that it's approximately around the age of 15. If a child is precocious, it may come even a year or two earlier. But somewhere around the age of 15, most adolescents are capable of taking a hold of their whole destiny, taking a hold of their life, and they have the freedom to make a decision as to what direction they wish their life to take. Therefore, adolescence is a time when one makes some very important decisions about one's general attitude toward life, toward God, toward others, and toward oneself. One of the most important decisions of this period of adolescence is the willingness to sacrifice play and accept the seriousness of purpose necessary to become a mature adult. One of the greatest dangers is for the youth to cling to the illusions and dreams of childhood and refuse to face the difficult facts of life as they actually exist. A strong faith and trust in God, along with additional experiences of unselfish love given and received, plus a willingness to work hard and sacrifice oneself for the good of others, these are the best solutions for developing a strong sense of responsibility during the years of adolescence. Parents who try to satisfy every desire of their children are doing a terrible disservice to these children. Life thrives and matures when there is a good balance of pleasure and pain, of hardship and ease, of self-denial and self-indulgence, of failure and success. Whereas life withers and growth and maturity is very often brought to a halt when there is too much either of pleasure or of pain, either of failure or of success, of hardship or of ease. Even in the most favorable circumstances, the teenager needs to exercise much self-discipline and self-control in order to bring to maturity the awakening powers of love. Until now, these powers of love, particularly the attraction toward the other sex, have remained asleep within the depths of the inner being. Many difficulties will be expected as the budding adult struggles with one's recently awakened sexuality. The awareness and the value of the person of the other sex becomes extremely fascinating and arouses curiosity. Tremendous attraction is felt for the need of the other sex to complement one's own one-sided personality. Physical attraction, sexual desires, a feeling of personal independence, and the newly awakened perception of the hidden values of persons all contribute to the series of crises that mark adolescence. The fourth stage of growth for youth occurs over a 10-year period between the ages of 18 and 28. The real crisis experienced during this time is the cutting of that psychological umbilical cord that has previously tied one to one's own family and one's own home. This is the time when the youth breaks away from home and family and begins to live life on one's own. This is the time when one must make a specific commitment and dedication of life to a particular cause or profession or vocation. And if marriage is chosen, to a particular person as one's life's partner. Youth ends and adulthood begins when one is ready and willing to take hold of one's future destiny and assume full responsibility for one's life and makes a commitment of life's energies to some ideal or some person or persons. This is the time for one's conscious will to assume responsibility for one's future, to take hold of one's existence, and make a solemn dedication of everything to a person or ideal other than oneself. And this must be done regardless of the consequences. The more self-control and self-discipline one has developed in earlier life, the easier it will be to make the decision which plunges one into adult life. The more generous and unselfish is this decision, the easier and more certain it will be that the right decisions will be made in many other areas and at the other stages of growth that will face one before death. Either directly or indirectly, one's commitment to unselfish love and service to others is actually a commitment to God as he is known at this time. Since God is love, as St. John says, a commitment to unselfish service and love of others is actually a commitment to God. And apart from God and love, life has no real meaning, since it was for love that we were created. In order for one's progress toward wholeness and maturity be on schedule, it would be expected that by the age of 28, the major part of one's development of conscious faculties will have been accomplished. In other words, that one will have arrived at control of one's mind, one's will, one's emotions and feelings and memory, as well as any other parts of our conscious life. The basic task then of youth is that of self-discipline and self-control of our conscious faculties. As long as we live, this task of self-discipline will remain with us. But after the age of 28, other tasks become more important. If, therefore, a youth has neglected to educate and to control and discipline the conscious faculties of mind and will and emotions and feelings and memory and imagination, this will result in a double duty required of that person in the next period of life, that of adulthood.